Well, welcome everyone.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, this is Carol Heider speaking.
And I'm Lisa Janis.
And we're really excited to have our guest tonight, Marina Lighthouse. Many of you may know her, not necessarily face-to-face, but Marina has become one of our main resources that we send our students to buy feng shui products because she runs fengshuishopper.com. So, Lisa, do you want to, do you have some intro things we need to talk about first, or do you want to launch into Marina's bio?
First, I want to make sure Marina can be heard. I did mute people. I just want to make sure we can hear her. Marina?
Hello.
Hello. Super welcome.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. Hi there.
We are excited to have you as part of this, our second now teleseminar, our third event in our speaker series that we've started to do to help. It's a way to keep people up to date and sort of along the lines of continuing education credits. That's part of the reason, and then it's also to help educate the community at large, our community, about the different areas of feng shui and related areas. And so we're just excited to have you with us tonight.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
Yes. As Carol said, Marina Lighthouse is the proprietor of fengshuishopper.com, and we do send a lot of people her way to get things. One of my, she is my main resource for things like crystals, and she just has some beautiful things on there. When later we'll talk about an event that's happening, our next speaker series, which will probably happen in January, it'll be another teleseminar, and there might be an animal you'll need for the following year, and Marina can be one of the resources for that too. So Marina is a feng shui expert. She is also a musician, an artist, a singer, and a spiritual seeker, and she's based out of San Francisco. She was featured in Gentry Magazine, Leading by Example, 13 Amazing South Bay Women. That was in 2007. Marina was introduced to feng shui in 1991 when she met His Holiness Grandmaster Lin Yun while he was performing a blessing ceremony for the city of Santa Cruz. So she started studying with him, and she became a certified feng shui practitioner in black sect tantric feng shui, which is also the version of feng shui that the Wind and Water School certifies professional consultants in. In 2000, she produced the CD Feng Shui Tune-Up, which was a musical collaboration with His Holiness Grandmaster Lin Yun and Marina. In 2003, she produced a CD called The Heart Sutra, and she also, that was when she, in 2001 was when she started the fengshuishopper.com. Then in 2008, she produced the CD Oracle Passages of Kuan Yin, and then in that autumn of 2009, she published Kuan Yin Temple Oracle, the book and the CD that are a very comprehensive guide for anybody who's seeking the wisdom and inspiration from that great goddess of compassion, which we'll be talking a lot about tonight. So she also released a free daily horoscope for Facebook users called Feng Shui QI. She's written 4 books. She has a new CD entitled Kuan Yin that features mantras, meditation, and rituals. And she owns the consulting company, Feng Shui Consulting Company Lighthouse Feng Shui LLC, and is part of the International Feng Shui Guild as a Red Ribbon member. And Carol, you've known her for quite a few years, haven't you?
Oh my gosh. Marina and I are the old guard. We've been around forever. I remember the first time I met you, Marina, and you had just come out with your first CD. And I don't even know how I knew about it. Somebody back here had said, you've got to listen to this CD, and it was your feng shui tune-up. Mm. And you and I met, and I, oh, my gosh, it was just love at first sight, if you will, because we just had a lot in common, and, you know, we started out about the same time. That was about when I was starting out as well, and we just have circled through each other's lives and at Professor Lynn things and Crystal Chu things and, you know, all sorts of things. So it's like old home week for me. So it is great to have you here. We just an old dear colleague of mine, Marina. So,
well, thank you, Carol.
Good to be here.
And
yeah.
I would like to say that it's just been such an inspiration to see your work blossom and flourish over the years, and the way that you've shared your knowledge and so generously with your students and carried the torch on for our beloved professors, just it warms my heart and really makes me proud to know you.
Thank you, my dear. You know, I think that one thing that has struck me is that when I was listening to all the things that you've done, is that I remember Professor Lynn used to say, take this information and expand it. And, wow, I guess we're both kind of good examples of that, of taking the essence of what he taught us and putting it out there in various new packages. And I loved when he would just sort of inspire people to do that. And I'd say we've done pretty well, Marina. I think he would be proud.
Oh, well, thank you. And I know he'd be very proud of you, Carol. The you know, sometimes I give in-person lectures here in the Bay Area, and I'll look at the crowd and I'll say, okay, has anybody here, you know, does anybody know about feng shui? And, you know, the place raises their hands, and then I go, has anybody here studied with Professor? And it's amazing, most of the time, I will say 98% of the time, no one raises their hands, and I just think, oh my God, he used to always say, good karma that we are together, and he would repeat that.
Yep.
He'd be in classes and go, okay, yeah, good karma, you know, but now we really understand what he meant by that, that we were so blessed to have been with him and to have him share all the great wisdom that he possessed and love and compassion that he shared with everybody. He was just an amazing human being. And I say, in my life, he changed everything. I mean, for some people that have read about Yogananda and, you know, different spiritual leaders throughout time, I feel that my life was most blessed because I met, you know, His Holiness Grandmaster Lin Yun, which I probably will call him lovingly Professor, because I knew him.
Called, yeah.
You know, the students just would call him Professor, but
I agree with you. He was a very special gift. And I don't think I knew that until I had studied with him a few times that I got the magnitude of his spiritual level.
Right.
Because he was an incredible teacher and a person, but just being around him, you know, when you're in the presence of somebody who's really connected, you can feel that. And be a while to recognize it. I didn't know what it was, and suddenly I could call it. I could name it. That this is a holy person who had a fabulous sense of humor and didn't let you get away with anything. But that said, he was extremely evolved. It was like you say, it was a gift to think back of those hours with him. And I'm sure you traveled with him. I traveled with him in 1998. We went to Nepal and India.
Wow.
And, wow, you know, that's a whole other level of exposure to a man who just attracted people. I mean, you'd be standing anywhere, and people would, like, come to him. And I'd say, do people know him here? Well, kind of, or no, or they just can recognize he's a holy man, and they would come up to him. It was amazing.
Wow. Yeah, I took every opportunity I could to travel with him, and go to every class I possibly could. So I didn't go on that trip with you, but that's okay.
Yeah.
At that point in time, didn't have the good karma to go on that one, but I did go on many other ones with him. So, and I always learned, and I spent time with him. So it's through this great gift that we're now here sharing.
You've
learned.
Yeah, that's right.
Before we get started with the material, I do want to remind people that Marina is going to be taking questions for the Oracle later in the call. And so if you have questions, you can start thinking about them as she's talking. It can be a personal question. And then what you do is you send those to carol@carolheider.com, carolehyder.com. And we'll just, we want to talk to Marina just in general and get some questions about Kuan Yin. And then later, if you have a question, you can certainly send one and we'll answer as many as we can. So I just want to remind people about that.
And they will be confidential. I mean, I'm the only one who may know you or may not, but I'm not going to read your name. I'll just read your question. That will be all she'll need, so don't be concerned about that.
Good.
Yeah. And so just really quick, what kind of questions can people be thinking about? Like a personal question, like if they should tackle a health issue or take a new line of study or any of those types of topics?
Are you asking me?
Or Marina, either of you, both of you.
Usually people,
Are you asking, who are you asking, Lisa?
I'm asking either of you. I guess we'll just let Marina answer. What kind of questions
you
do you typically?
Go ahead. You want to, okay, well, in general, you can ask the Oracle any question that you like. It's going to give you a direction to think about and contemplate or go in. I don't usually, just because of where we are right now, I don't really like to take on health issues. You can certainly do that with Kuan Yin on your own, but I think tonight we should concentrate more like, you know, should I move? Should I, what's going on with this relationship? That kind of thing.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's great. That'll give people some ideas to think about. Yeah. But they're
perfect. Okay.
Thinking about it. Okay.
All righty.
Wait, you want to start, Lisa, or do you want?
Sure. Sure.
Go you start.
Marina, why don't we just start with something really basic for people? I remember the first time I learned about Kuan Yin. I mean, I didn't know anything about her, and the first time I heard about her actually was on your a call that you had with Carol. So for the people who aren't as familiar, let's just talk about who is Kuan Yin.
Well, in the West, we've seen her image a lot. She's been presented to us a lot in classic, let's say, Chinese or Asian artwork. Oftentimes we don't recognize that's who was being represented, but she is the a female deity, the goddess of compassion. She usually is holding either a compassion vase, which is filled with the nectar of compassion, and a willow branch, which will dip into the compassion vase and then bless. Less whoever is there. She could be riding a dragon. She could be, there's many different ways that she's been, personified in, there's a thousand arm Kuan Yin. And Kuan Yin, for the first time I saw her or had an experience with an image of her was I was at a Catholic rummage sale back in the day.
This ought to be good.
Yeah. I was kind of rummaging around, as one does in a rummage sale, and I found this exquisite little scroll, box scroll, and I opened it up, and there was this just unbelievable, beautiful presence of this female energy, this beautiful image of who I later found out was Kuan Yin. And I, at first when I saw it, because of the, she had a halo, I thought, oh, this is the Asian Virgin Mary, or their version of it. And so I thought, oh, this will be great. So I quickly scooped it up, and I put it in my bedroom, and I have that image in my bedroom still today. So so that was the first time, and then I found out that actually there was the goddess of compassion, and actually there was a while in Japan where they were Kuan Yin and the Virgin Mary were kind of becoming the same deity there, and then the Japanese decided that it should, she should be Kuan Yin. So she's had a very interesting role in world religions. But that was the first time I saw her and had an experience with her. And then later I went to I'm going to sound like a real treasure hunter. Okay, so I am. All right, so I went to another store, and I think it was a Goodwill or something like that, and there was this beautiful white-robed Kuan Yin statue, and I just fell in love with her, and I wanted to rescue her from there. And I took her to the front counter, and there was a Vietnam War veteran there, and he took her and held the statue in her hands and said, oh, I saw her in Asia. Oh, she's so beautiful. She was in the temples. She's a very beautiful, presence, and this is the goddess, Kuan Yin. And I went, oh, wow. It was just kind of an amazing experience, and I could see that he had had some big traumatic experiences that had happened to him while he was there, but his whole energy changed when he was in the presence of that statue. And so I took her home, and she's still here to this day. So those were pretty much my first experiences with her image. So I think most people experience the image of her and first. They might feel her presence if they know to call her, or maybe she has come anyway to help people, and they don't really recognize that it's her. But I think the first time most Westerners connect with her is through some kind of image association.
Interesting. So how did the book come about? I mean, that's kind of a leap from rummage sales, and then
so many years.
Now we're writing a book.
Yeah.
What happened there?
Yeah, I know. Well, many things happened between there. I've always been on a spiritual path, and I studied the I Ching for years, and I've always had a really, I was studying the I Ching when I was in high school. So I've always had a connection with, Eastern culture and philosophy. And, there are many different connections. But one that came to me today while I was kind of thinking about our interview tonight was, I did feng shui tune-up. And Professor, when we finished it, which is just a really elaborately, lushly orchestrated wonderful piece of music that and with Professor on it that many people contributed to. I went back up to Professor and said, what would you like me to do for my next project? And he said, the Heart Sutra. And I went, okay. I didn't know what the Heart Sutra was. I didn't know anything really about it. And so I said, okay, that's what I'll do. If that's what you want me to do next, I will. So I kind of began the project. And the first words of the Heart Sutra are Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva, practicing deep paramita, you know, and on and on. So even the Heart Sutra is connected with Kuan Yin because Avalokiteshvara is the male representation of Kuan Yin. So even then I was, you know, getting immersed into this whole world of Kuan Yin. And as I worked on that project, I began feeling her presence more, and I think Professor probably wanted me to really connect with that teaching. It's been one of the most profound meditations. I know, Carol, you've done it and probably taught it. But basically, the bottom line of the Heart Sutra is that you are empty. And if you can be empty, then you can have greater intuition. And through greater intuition, if it's used in the right way, you can really help people. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that Professor was just was, is at any moment, any time of day, if anyone called him, he could get out of himself and just listen and tell somebody, this is what you need to do to help your problem. And he would stay up for 23 hours a day sometimes helping people. And, I mean, it's just amazing. So with that's how I think that's how I more deeply connected. And then from there, I had a really traumatic experience, and I was meditating, and I called to Kuan Yin, which anyone can do. You say her name three times out loud, and I said, please help me. I just don't know what to do in this situation, and what's going to help me through this? And I felt this presence come into my room where I was meditating, and this presence said, put my oracle to music. And at the time, I had an oracle that was written by Martin Palmer and a few other gentlemen. And so I started to begin to just sing and write music with this oracle as a guide, putting, you know, lyrics together. And I happened to go to one of Professor's lectures, and Professor Winchell Lee was there, and he was one of the best interpreters for Professor when you went to a lecture, because he got all the nuances, and he literally Oxford scholar, you know, so he can really translate Chinese very well. So I said, what do you think of this, you know, the translation? And he said, well, it's good, but it's not really accurate. And so I turned to go back to my seat, and then I turned around and went back, and I said, Chris, could you interpret the oracle for all of us? And he said, well, my guardian deity is Kuan Yin. I'd be delighted to.
Oh, wow.
He ended up spending the summer, he's a professor at San Francisco State University, translating the temple oracle. He obtained several copies. Actually, Robert Chu went to Hong Kong and different places, and it's really difficult to find the real 100 verses. And so he found it, and he sent it to me, and I sent it to Chris, and then he spent the summer interpreting the messages. And because, you know, there's a lot of things that it's very they don't translate into English well. You know, certain things, when certain words, when they're saying them, it means something. But because if you know Chinese, you know that it has a connection to, like, let's say, an ancient folk lore. And so you kind of get the message. Like, you know, if I was talking to a Chinese person and say, oh, who are you, like a little Red Riding Hood, they wouldn't understand that, but we would, you know.
Right.
So there's a lot of that in the actual temple oracle, where you have to know what the meaning is behind the word, or the, so that you can really understand and give the correct responses. So that's how that started.
And so you took those translations and you published them in that, in your book?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes, that's what it is. And it took me a couple of years to do it. It was a labor of love, but I'm really happy that it's here so people can connect to Kuan Yin in a better way. A lot of people like to use divination to help help them, guide them, and if they can, you know, dig deep and...
I think this is formidable work that you did, because it's so unique, number one, but you've blended that. It's like you've created another form of the I Ching. You've pulled in Kuan Yin, and you've pulled in a way to access her, and in a way that's easy. I mean, you know, this isn't a complicated method, but it's a brilliant, masterful piece that you did, Marina. And I know Professor was really proud of this book.
Well, thank you, Carol. I couldn't have done it without him and Chris.
Yeah. And just as an FYI, there are a lot of questions are coming in, so
okay.
Sure. We'll want to make sure we hold some time for them, so people are getting really excited about what you're doing.
Okay.
Marina, I have a question, and I know this was on Carol's
mind.
Lisa,
you
want to
pick up from here?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Great.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yep.
I just wanted to ask you about something you had said previously, and I know Carol had wondered this too. And when I had been doing a little research on Kuan Yin, I came across it where at first it was female, and then at some point she became male, and then at some point she became female. Mm-hmm. Do you know any of the historical things behind that, like what transpired, and do people still consider Kuan Yin male in some cases, or is she pretty much now known as female?
The name Kuan Yin, and I know this is another thing. How many different spellings can there be of Kuan Yin? Well, let's count. There's so many.
Yeah.
And it's because it's, so it can be K-U-A-N, Q-U-A-N, K-W-A-N, and on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I think you're talking about Kuan Yin, I would say it's a female deity, okay? Mm-hmm. But originally she was Avalokiteshvara, and Avalokiteshvara was the Buddha of compassion. And so, and actually the Dalai Lama is the, you know, our worldly representation of Avalokiteshvara. So his energy is very connected with Kuan Yin as well. So I think because of the compassion and he was never represented as an aggressive yang male energy. I think that's how the transition came. And as people believe, Kuan Yin is a shapeshifter. So she might come to you, she might come to you as a little hummingbird to brighten your day. She might come to you as an omen or as a person coming in, you know, in the hospital and sitting down next to you. You know, a lot of stories similar to, like, you know, guardian angel or angel type of things. She will come in any way to help you. I think she kind of decides, okay, this person will accept this, you know, the compassion or the healing if I appear this way. And then she will morph herself into that. So in that time of China, in that time of Japan, when people were visualizing her and her having her come, I think the energy of Kuan Yin came to them, and it felt more feminine to them because it was so compassionate and loving and caring. You know, so that's how that happened.
Thank you.
So she could come to you as a male.
Marina, have you been to Potushan?
Yes, I have.
The island?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been there too. There's an island in China, just off Shanghai, out in the sea, and it's called Potushan, and it's dedicated totally to Kuan Yin. Man, oh man, Kuan Yin's everywhere, and it's really an interesting energy there. We had somebody on the trip we were on have quite a cathartic experience in one of the temples. We had to sort of get her out, in fact.
Oh.
It was amazing. I've never seen anybody quite go into that kind of a trance. But the energy is really amazing there. I mean, most of us found it to be, and she did too, found it to be really loving, you know, compassion. I mean, you just walked around, you just could feel it. Something overcame this young woman, but didn't dampen the trip in any way, but it was amazing to see the power that was coming through her.
You know, maybe she was supposed to have that cathartic experience somewhere on the planet at some point in her life because of her karma, and because that was probably the safest place for her to have that happen, and because you and other people were surrounding her, she was in a safe place to have it. Otherwise, she's been in a lot of problems may be taken away. I mean, locked up. Who knows? You know what I mean? So.
Yep, I do. That's a really good point on that. And I will tell you, you know, we were in a temple and there were monks there and they were chanting, which is kind of what prompted it, I think, because you do get into an altered state. And they looked over and we were like kind of motioning them to come over. And they just kept chanting. And they looked over at her and then looked away. And then later on they said, yeah, that happens. So it was like, oh, well, okay, all right. But as soon as we got her out of there and got her out into some fresh air and walked her on the earth a little bit, she came back and did not remember what had happened.
Interesting.
It was amazing, kind of an amazing experience. So.
She had a spirit possession. Some kind of.
She did.
She
did.
I don't know all the details, but it definitely sounds like something like that. So, you were witness to it. So it was some part of your karma too to see that and process that.
It sure was. And you might know an experience like that. Not everyone in the group saw it as a positive thing. We had to do some damage control for a while because. People got afraid. You know, you don't see that kind of thing very often. And she even said, I'm fine, people. I'm fine. I don't know what happened, but I'm fine. But it's not something we are exposed to on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us about the orc?
So
go ahead.
I was there with Professor, so I had a different experience.
This was not with Professor.
Yeah, so, but he had said that, you know, the island, you know, he'd been there since, you know, before the communists kind of came in.
Okay.
And he said that it the spiritual chi there wasn't quite as strong as it had been. So, you know, but it's still, she's still there, but it's, you know, you'd have to make an effort more to connect to it, where before I think it was just like, you know, everywhere.
Well, that's interesting. I could see that. I could see that there might be some kind of a shift there.
Yeah. So?
Well, Kuan Yin, why don't, or Kuan Yin, Marina, I get you too confused.
Yeah.
See, Kuan Yin, Marina, I don't know.
Oh, no, no.
Tell us about the Kuan Yin Oracle board that you've got. This is a wonderful little book, and I know you're going to offer people, you have a little special offer for anybody who wants to buy this book. It's lovely. But you've got a kind of a fold-out board at the back, which enables people to ask their own questions and get their own answers.
Tell
us about that, a little bit, development of that.
So basically, we put together the Kuan Yin board, and what happens is you can easily access it. You can take this on, you know, planes or trips, so you don't need the fortune sticks, which are the divination sticks that they have in the temples and are the traditional method of divination with the Kuan Yin Oracle. And also, I call them moon discs, that they're like wooden blocks that you toss down onto the ground to see if the answer is correct or not. So this is an easy access back of the board. It's called the Kuan Yin Oracle board. And you, what you do is you place your middle finger, which is your Vajra finger, on the image of Kuan Yin that's in the center of the board. And then you look to the heavens and you visualize that Kuan Yin is answering your question, not Carol, not Lisa, not Marina, but Kuan Yin's energy is coming through you. You're an open channel to her energy, you know, no other energy, Kuan Yin's pure energy, and she is answering the question for you. And then you think of the question, and then you do your divination.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 100... And the other thing is that there's 100 different poems. There's 100 poems, and that's what makes this oracle different than others. There's another one that's like 68. There's another one that's 33 or something like this. Kuan Yin is always 100 different. It's associated with this. So, so when you put your rotate your hand around your finger around the board, then and visualize your questions being answered. You then place your finger on the number, and then you look it up and get your divination.
Get your answer, yeah.
Yeah, the answer to your question.
And I will say, you know, a lot of people on the call tonight have studied at the Wind and Water School, and we do a whole section on I Ching. And sometimes, depending on the I Ching book, sometimes the answers are like, wait, what? You know, it's sort of like, what? I don't know. But these are really clear. I mean, they're sweet and they're clear. And you interpret it to a point, but I really like it because it just says, well, this is a warning here, or very promising. I mean, it just puts it right out there, and I like that. I think that's very, makes it easy to read.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I fell in love with her.
So, should we start on some questions, Lisa? Do you have anything else you want to ask Marina, Lisa? Did we lose Lisa?
Doing divination in the background. let's chant a little, shall we?
Let's
do some chanting. I'd love that.
Okay, so it's always good before you do any kind of meditation or divination to calm your mind and your heart. So let's do the mind calming mantra, which is the Sanskrit version, which is Gate Gate Para Gate Parasam Gate Bodhiswaha. Let's do that nine times.
All right.
And just if anyone wants to know what it means gone, 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 gone beyond, even beyond, into full enlightenment, and so be it. So it's just to clear energy. Calm yourself. Yeah. All right. Gate.
Okay. Gate.
Or would you like to start?
No, go ahead. You start. We'll take your lead, Marina.
All right. Okay, thank you. Gate, gate, para gate,
para gate, para sangate, bodhi swaha. Gate, gate, para gate,
para sangate,
para sangate, bodhi swaha.
Gate, gate,
gate, gate, para gate,
para sangate,
para sangate,
bodhi
swaha.
Gate, gate,
gate, gate,
para
gate,
para sangate,
para sangate,
bodhi
swaha. Bodhi
swaha.
Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhi swaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhi swaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhi swaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhi swaha. Gate, gate, para gate, para sangate, bodhi swaha.
Beautiful. Okay. So do you want to take a caller now, or I think what
I got a question right here.
Okay. At the end, let's
okay.
Honey Pod Me Om nine times. Okay. At before we end the call.
What are we doing? Chanting what?
Omani Padme Om at the end of the whole, before we hang up, before the session's over.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Perfect. Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Ready for the first question?
Yes.
Okay. My question, if we should buy the house next door that has been foreclosed.
All right, so I got 79 for this, and so this is the verse. You made empty promises to save your arse, then renege once the crisis has come to pass. Honor your word and hold to it tightly, for an oath to the gods is not taken lightly. We all pursue what is in our own interest, such as human nature. But Kuan Yin sends a reminder that a pact made with the divine powers is no joking matter. You must fulfill your obligations. A reminder to keep your word and stay the course. So the way I interpret that is, I don't know.
What number was that, Marina? What number was that?
79.
Okay,
79.
Thank you.
So, and Carol, please, you know, join in with the interpretation. But usually when I have received that as a number, or when my clients have received it as a number, it says to me that, you know, perhaps you did a feng shui cure. Perhaps you made a special wish. Perhaps there was something where you went, oh, come on, I got to get out of this situation. Please come down, help me out. And so the divine energy, you know, the heaven realm, helped you out. And then you kind of forgot about that you said, okay, I'll donate to charity, or I'll make sure that the next time this happens, I won't do it. Or there's something where you haven't fulfilled some kind of obligation that you made in a prayer. So you need to review that. And then once you do that and you understand what that is, then you could possibly proceed with buying the foreclosed house, but there's something that you haven't done that you said you would do. So if you just go ahead and buy it and not fulfill your whatever you promised, it's not going to turn out well. But if you can kind of review and kind of look at what's going on and what blessings you've received recently and maybe not shown gratitude towards or you know, something like that, that's what's going on with you not being able to really decide should I do it or not do it. Carol?
Yeah, it's real. Yep, I agree. There's something that hasn't been fulfilled here. And it's real clear that until whatever that is, that loose end has been tied up, this basically it's called a warning, which
right.
isn't, which is sort of a red flag. It would be a red flag in my eyes. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Next question. Okay, let's see. Yes, this is a caller who was on the call with that we did in 2010, Marina. Let's see. All right. Now I'm feeling now is the time to embark on a new journey for my feng shui business. What information does Kuan Yin have for me today?
So I got number 16, verse 16.
Okay.
So it goes like this. Find temporary relief from your sorrows and cares. Break through the clouds and see the light of day. Like precious jade buried under heaps of dung, retrieved by a craftsman who wipes away the soil. Your success will come with no strings attached, and where there are losses, some good will come of it. All is well for those virtuous of heart. The opposite is true for those who lack morals. Imagery of the yin and yang in perfect harmony, all is well. So, what is Kuan Yin telling you? So there's a hidden treasure. Something nice is going to come out of something that you thought was not working or some kind, you know, dung heap is like, you know, what in the heck am I doing in this? And then all of a sudden, wow, a piece of jade. And jade in, you know, in this system is like finding diamonds or something like that. It's just like an unbelievable treasure found in something that you would never expect to find it in. So I think there's some good things that are going to come out of it, and maybe where you didn't feel like you were really progressing, you know, in a blink of an eye, something good, you're going to understand why, and then something good's going to come out of it. What was the lesson? And the other thing is she's also saying all is well for those with a virtuous heart. The opposite is true for those who lack morals. So, you know, take the real high road. Always, you know, have Kuan Yin with you when you're consulting with people. You know, why are you doing this? You know, if you were just doing it for material gain, there would be that's kind of a warning. But if you're actually doing it to better others and you know, help those, then it's going to do really well. Carol?
Yeah, I know this caller. She'll do well.
Okay.
She will.
Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
I think that you nailed it. Yeah, you nailed it for her.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Here's a personal hello to you, Marina, listening from the Bay Area and excited to hear your story. Here's a question. I'm trying to discover the artist within me that's ready to shine and be seen, but am worried that I'm going to fail and not find that joy and passion as an artist that I had as a child. I get overwhelmed with the choices of what type of art to focus on. Any advice is much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Okay. And I'm going to say kind of a secret.
What's the number?
It's 77. I'm going to say a secret right now. When you're doing the readings, and I'm looking to the heaven realm, a lot of times I will see a light kind of blink on. It could be a purple light. It could be a bright light. And that's when Kuan Yin's telling you, choose. I don't know if that's going to be true for everybody, but if you put that in your consciousness, that'll help. You really have to get out of yourself when you're doing the answer. So I'm just waiting kind of from a sign from her, not, you know, Marina wants the answer now kind of thing. So I don't know. I thought I would mention that. So fame and fortune are but a flimsy mirage, like hills in the distance shrouded in clouds. When a nudge awakens you from your dream, you will better appreciate the here and now. Like a dream too good to be true, you should shelve your ambition for stardom. Instead, wait patiently for the right moment to come, and the right person will point you in the right direction. Like finding treasure in a dream, all is illusionary and not real. So, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the tarot card of the Seven of Cups, but it's like this artist or this person. If you want to, you can go online and look that up. But I get that image when I get this number too. So this artist is looking at all these different possibilities, like big calm, I can, you know, diamonds, wealth, fortune, all these different things, and they're all kind of in the clouds, and they're having a really hard time trying to decide what do I want to get out of this, or why am I doing this for? So so when you get a reading like that, that means that, one, you're confused, two, you're not getting a clear, you're not opening your channel. Your channel is kind of, I don't want to say blocked, but it's not clear. So what I would do in that situation is I would meditate more. I would talk to Kuan Yin. I would do affirmations. I would do the Heart Sutra, and so that you can ask what, you know, we're all here to serve people, and your art is going to serve people. So what is it that people really need right now? And then go for that, because that's where the divine energy is just going to go right through to you. And maybe, you know, sometimes, you know, even on my path, you know, I did a CD of, of Kuan Yin's poetry that wasn't written correctly, but I still did it because that actually made my connection to her stronger. And if I hadn't done that, then I wouldn't have gotten to do the oracle later. So sometimes it's just you're on a path and you just have to be, so maybe you paint a painting that's red, let's say, this week. Well, maybe if that's what Kuan Yin is telling you to do, do it. And then you have to trust that inner voice and develop that inner voice. And connecting with Kuan Yin, having some time to kind of focus on your inner self, you'll be able to channel, because artists are really channelers, and so you just need to get your channel clearer, and you will do well.
That's good.
The message, you know, you better appreciate the here and now too. So there's a thing where you're one of my favorite things that I learned recently was this saying, if you're depressed or angry, you're living in the past. If you're fearful or anxious, you're living in the future. The only way you can be happy is being in the present moment. So look at what's going on to yourself presently, and that's where you'll find happiness. And all the lamas I ever meet always tell me, go towards happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. That's a good way to, that's a good way to encapsulate what was just said here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Okay, you want another question here?
Sure.
Is there a stone associated, this is not necessarily an oracle question, is there a stone associated with Kuan Yin?
Yes, pink quartz.
Pink quartz, okay.
Yeah, quartz.
All right, and do you, other than helpful people, is there a place in the Bagua that she would manifest?
Well, yes, there's several places, actually. She's a mother energy. So you could definitely bring in the divine feminine in your relationship area and have her manifest there.
Mm-hmm.
She's also the patron saint of goddess of protection of children. And Professor often said to put the white statue, you know, in the children's area, you know, to help with, you know, activate creativity. And, you know, that's the perfect place to put Kuan Yin. She'll bless your creativity. She'll bless your children, whether they're physical in this world or their art or, you know, creative projects.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do one more here.
Okay.
We have been married for almost 35 years and seem to have lost the connection in our marriage. I have a sense that my husband doesn't realize I'm here except for needing me to keep the house in order. Mm-hmm. I want to feel appreciated and valued. What can we do to move the relationship back into a more loving and compassionate place? This is a very heartfelt question.
I know. Well, let me tell you something that Professor said to me once. This was his little scenario. I was in class, and he was saying, and I'm not going to get the word right, so please forgive me, but it was a Chinese word like, you know, mu shen. So he said, you know, you Westerners need more mu shen. You need more. And I didn't, he was saying, so he stood up, you know, he said, come on, people, let's see what kind of, you know, can you come up with something? And so, you know, this woman, Lily, in the back of the classroom, she's Chinese, and he said, show, demonstrate. And so she said, oh, darling, would you like a cup of tea? And he said, good. And I said, all the Westerners are like, we don't get it. So I stood up and I said, Professor, is it like a dog maybe, you know? Is it like a dog, you know, like you just come up to the other person and you're just unconditional love and you're, you know, you just want to just, you know, be, just, you know, like a dog when they see their master. Oh, boy, you're here. Yay, yippee, yippee. And then we went to, and he said, no, it's not a dog. And then we had lunch, and I was fortunate enough to be sitting with him. And he said, you know, I was thinking about your answer, Marina, and, you know, you've come closer to it than, you know, other people. It's not a dog. It's a cat. Westerners should be more like cats in their relationship. And I said, what do you mean, Professor? And he said, think about a cat. They don't really do anything. They look pretty. They're hanging out. And then they come up and they rub against your leg and they just kind of look up at you and you're like, what can I get you? Do you want some fish? Wait a minute. Do you want a bread cheese? What would you like, little cat? And they just totally make you do whatever they want. And then they're just very independent and walk away like, who cares about you? But then when they need something, they come back. So what he was trying to describe was to be more, you know, like the cat in the sense of, like, tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're, You know, do the what, however you would kind of manifest like a cat. I had one client say, "You mean like rub up against the couch with my tail?" And I said, "No, no, yeah." We laugh, but anyway, no. But it's just that it's that attitude of just like, "Oh, you are everything right now to me," and then you can go off and be independent. It's you're a cat woman there, Miss Hyder. Tell them how they've
Boy,
totally missed
yes.
you, and you will do anything for those little girls, right?
Yes. I think her question, that's a great analogy. I'd not heard that story from Professor before. I think her question is getting her husband to be more attentive.
Well, she.
I think.
Then she needs to be more attentive. But in a different
oh,
way.
Oh, I see what you... Oh, of course. Okay. Got it.
She needs to be more attentive. And do some unexpected things, you know? I got that, too. I mean, I can do a reading from Kuan Yin to see if there's something else that she'd like to say on the situation, but...
Why don't you do that? Because this will be our last reading. We'll need to wrap up. Why don't you do a reading from Kuan Yin then?
Ooh, she got a very good reading. So I think about what we said tonight, because it's one of the best ones. It's when I was with Professor, it basically means that the Buddha is arriving or Kuan Yin will arrive to help out. It's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Witness the creation of heaven and earth when life is breathed into every being, a magical moment for a worthy soul who is righteous, loyal, and graced by kings. All will come fast, very fast. Kuan Yin is letting you know ahead of time, before the actual occurrence of the event. This verse describes the moment when Pan Ku created heaven and earth, a moment when all is auspicious. Something is really wonderful is going to happen. So connect to Kuan Yin's energy. And there's, you know, expect a miracle and you'll get one in the relationship. And think kitty cat. And if you read any of Carol's
I don't see
email,
that.
I mean, when you send your, I love when you send out your newsletters and they mention, you know, you talk about your cats in them, Carol. It's just, it's hysterical and I love it and it's so heartfelt. So, you know,
thank
there you,
you
go.
Well, Lisa, did we lose you? Are you still there? I fear we might have lost her. Go. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, we need to wrap up. And Marina, thank you. Now, we have an offer that you're doing something special for the listeners. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. What I'd like to do is I'm going to create the Kuan Yin mandala. There's a special compassion mandala that is a great thing to have. You can put it up in your home as a blessing to have a presence there. You can put it on your shrine table or altar, and I will be sending those out with a copy of the book, and if you get either one of the divination tools with the book. I think that will, I have one on myself on my Kuan Yin altar, and you can just feel the energy. If there's a compassion Kuan Yin ritual, if you go to KuanYinOracle.com, there's a whole compassion ritual there that you can do to connect to Kuan Yin more, and part of that ritual is to have this mandala on your shrine or table when you're doing the offering to her.
Wow. So they buy the book, mm-hmm. and then they buy either the sticks
right.
or the moon discs, is that correct?
Right.
And then they'll get the mandala.
Yes.
Great. That's great.
Yes.
And
we'll be sending out an email with the recording.
And that information will also be in that email at the bottom, again, to remind people how to get that special offer, a link
mm-hmm.
to the site, and then what to do for that.
Good.
We had quite a few questions we didn't get to. And so to those people, I would say this would be, I would get a copy of the book, and it shows you, tells you how to use the Oracle board in the back, and access Kuan Yin that way. I think that'll be a really powerful way for you to get some clarity around your questions.
Yes. And for those of you who are asking a bigger question on maybe what's happening next year for you, you want to take some of that Kuan Yin energy with you and maybe bring it to the retreat that we're having. We're having a one-day retreat on January 31st. If you're local, we'd love to see you. If you're not local, sorry. But do know that...
Fly in!
Yes, that's true. Fly in. I agree, what Marina said. And so if you're looking for something about that, please check out our website. Also, if you maybe you should ask Kuan Yin if this is the year for you to move forward, to get certified. That's a good question to ask. And if this is your year, then maybe you want to join us on December 11th for an informational call about our program. And maybe you just want to learn about feng shui and related topics. And we'll be having our next call in this speaker series sometime in January, and that's going to be around the Year of the Sheep. Our host for that call is going to be Carol, and she will talk about the Year of the Sheep and some good pointers for the year ahead as we say goodbye to the Year of the Horse. So do check our website. We haven't quite finalized the date for that, but be sure you're on our mailing list, or check the website if you want to join us for that. So, thank you so much, Marina. It was absolutely fascinating. I learned a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And even I find that it's so fascinating, even learning from when people ask their own individual questions, insights that come through. And I really felt like her presence was on the phone, because even just with questions, there was that, I just felt passionate with those people. And so I feel like she was with us here.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I,
absolutely.
You know, it's a wonderful, it's so wonderful that you got, that you both and Wind and Water School is doing this series. And I just want to say I think that if you study with Carol, you will be studying with the right person. She's an incredible teacher and a very compassionate being. Lisa, I don't know you personally like I know Miss
right.
Hyder,
I know.
But if you're associated with her, then I know that you are definitely also a gifted person, and that
thank
you're
you.
Moving through this all with sincerity, and it's just a wonderful platform for everyone, and it's going to bring the wisdom that you learn through the school, you'll also be able to share with so many people and so many
mm-hmm.
people's lives moving forward. So anyway, I love that you both have a compassionate heart, and I know Kuan Yin's with you wherever you go.
Oh, thank you.
Aww.
Lovely tribute.
Thank you. Well, let's end with Om Mani Padme Hum, and
all
then
right.
we'll just quietly go about and complete the rest of our evening, whatever else is on the agenda for each of us. All right.
Okay. Blessings to you all.
Okay. Yeah, yes, blessings to everybody. Thank you for being on the call. And thank you again, Marina. Okay.
Yeah.
Om Mani Padme Hum.
Om Mani
Padme Hum.
Om
Mani Padme Hum.
Om
Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum.
Mm-hmm.